Good evening, everybody. This is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today is January 27, 2011. The time is 6:07 p.m. Tony, can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
All right, and with that, we'll take us to the first agenda item for the meeting.
That is the Facilities Stakeholder Committee report and recommendations regarding district-wide facilities needs.
All right, Dr. Murphy. Chair,
welcome Board of Trustees, and welcome all visitors and facility stakeholders, members, and staff that are with us tonight. Appreciate the opportunity we have tonight to come together and discuss the work of the Facilities Stakeholders Committee and a possible plan for the future for Canutillo ISD. The committee's worked long and hard, as has administration, on putting together the items that we want to present to you tonight. We look forward to that. We have provided you information. I do need to make one small change in the information. If you open your last booklet, and I just want to get this out of the way at the very beginning, it's actually to the good, so not to the bad on the numbers. If you open your updated January 27, 2011 booklet, go to the second page. It says outline of booklet updated 1/27/2011, and it's a note to the trustees. In the bottom left of that page, you'll see a number, $6,676,000. Does everyone see that?
Yes.
Page 2. It actually is the page that doesn't have a page number on it.
Okay.
That $6,676,000 should read, please write this in, $7,601,000. That's the only change that has to be made.
How much?
$7,601,000 is what that number should be. That's to the good. That's savings above and beyond the 6.6. I just need to make that change before we get going. Board members, if you'll join us off the dais, we will get going. Thank you very much.
All right, let's all go down to...
Stakeholder committee and staff. I'd like to welcome you tonight to a review of the work of the Facility Stakeholders Committee, who have brought proposals and recommendations to you. Our main thrust tonight is for you to hear from the citizens that served on the committee, and I'd like everyone who served on the Facility Stakeholder Committee to please stand, if they would, and show. If you'll turn to the numeric page 2 in your document, you'll see that the Facility Stakeholders Committee was made up of approximately 25 community members approved by you, the Board of Trustees, back in the month of December. It was made up of administration. We had a principal, Connie Parker. Where's Ms. Parker? She served in principals. We had teachers, Lily representing the teachers. Ms. Maldonado, thank you for being here. We had parents from every area of the district. We had parents from traditional Central Canutillo, the Bosque Road area in West Canutillo. We had parents from the north end representing Benton and Westway. We had parents from the south end representing the Garcia Elementary and area south of Artcraft, and then we had parents representing our east side, east of I-10. And it was very equal. I think we had like three parents or four parents from each area. And with your vote, we approved that, and it was very well attended. We met four times, and that is outlined on page 3. And you can see that it was quite a tour and quite a trip. Four times in 2 months, equaling about 8 hours of committee work. December 2nd, January 10th. We went on the tour on December 11th. I'm sorry, December 2nd, December 11th, January 10th, and January 24th, just this past Monday. We did take a five-hour tour of the district, and we appreciate the facilities department putting that together, where we visited all of those areas. To let you know that on the 24th, on Monday night, the FSC, the Facility Stakeholder Committee, did vote in favor of recommending a bond election to the CISD Board of Trustees. We did that through a series of consensus votes and hard votes where we voted for items individually. What that process was, and I'd just like to explain that part of it, because I had a couple questions about that. Basically, the feeling was that there was a lot of items that needed to be done, and that really separated into two groups. Group one were items where there was general agreement, wastewater issues, our transportation issues, things like that, that were very simple, basically, to come to agreement on. And what I did was I printed all those up and I gave them out to the committee, and I said, is there anything on this general list that anyone has a problem with? If you do, we'll take it off the general list and we'll put it on a more specific list. And so, yeah, two or three, four things came off that general list and were put on the specific. And then basically we approved the general list. Then that left us with about 50 to 52 items that there was a little bit more concern about or discussion. And we went through on Monday night this week and we voted on every single one of those items, taking tallies, which we do have in the minutes, and I provided you the tallies of those in Eagle Notes yesterday. And that's where we came up with the recommendations that we have in front of you. We basically have come up with two numbers. The total tally for the amount that was initially approved, all the items, if you just added up their cost, is on slide 28. And that was at $47,164,000. As I wrote to the committee, and I got several responses back today, we feel that amount needs to come down some. And so we have recommended on slide 31, taking off that number I gave you on the dais, $7,601,000. And we are landing on a recommendation tonight, an initial recommendation from administration based on the work of the FSC and the work of administration of $39,563,000, which is found on slide 31. Does everyone have that, those figures? So that's it in a nutshell. There's a ton of other work that we need certainly to do before any type of decision could be contemplated or completed. At this time, I want to invite up three members of our FSC, Jaime Vela, Gabriel Solis, and Mark Nunnery, to come on up, and they're going to talk a little bit about the process and what they went through and are open to any questions or comments. Does anyone have any opening thoughts that they'd like to share from the board?
Anybody? No? All right. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
First of all, thank you all the committee members for serving on this committee. It's really, you know, it's a great job, but you know how difficult it is also sometimes how when we have to look at these issues of whether we're going to ask the community to spend this money. So We're very happy that we're able to put this committee together to actually start getting input from community members like yourselves to give us a little more input. Sometimes we don't get that communication as much from the community on these issues, except when we've already voted to go out for a bond issue. So it's a little different approach that we've taken, and I want to thank Dr. Murphy for getting the committee together and administration for their work. And it really helps the board in making our decision in terms of what we're going to do. We have obviously other issues that we'll need to consider. We'll need to meet with our financial advisors and get information about our bonding capacity, where we stand in our current tax rate, our INS, our funds, a lot of other issues we'll need to consider, as well as, you know, priority of some of the recommendations y'all have made. But right off the bat, I want to thank you all for, and on behalf of the board, for serving on this committee. We know it takes a lot of time, and we really thank you. Your time is precious. And believe me, we understand that. And sometimes we have to meet here late. And I know that you guys ended up meeting late some of these times. So thank you all very much for agreeing to serve on this committee. And we thank you for your time, and I'll let you guys talk to us.
We know it's a big number.
Yes.
And I think I sent my wife to go pay our taxes last week, and I think I paid too much in taxes. But that being the case, I went around with Dr. Murphy and I saw these schools and the facilities here, and quite frankly, I don't know if I would want my child to be in some of these facilities, which is why I personally have made the tough decision to say, this is the kind of work that needs to be done, and this is the burden that has to be put on the community, and me being one of them. So you know, we would come in here, and we had a really good group of people, and they were all here. Nobody would leave early, and we would sit here, and we would, you know, agree and disagree, and it was I think you got a real good cut out of what the community looks like and what they're thinking. But, you know, that being the case, personally, like I said, golly, I struggled to give that guy the check over there to pay for my property taxes. But I would struggle more to see children here going to get the foundation for the rest of their life in some of these facilities. And so I made that personal decision to back my colleagues and say, I think we need to do this. And I think this is something that is going to be a lot to chew on, but I think it's something that needs to be done.
Thank you.
Like Tommy, I think our eyes were open when we took that trip with Dr. Murphy and we went to some of the different schools. And personally, what I seen was some of the maintenance or whatever has been just kicked down the road and kicked down the road. I feel bad for Canutillo Middle School. It's a wreck. My daughter went there. She had a good time there, but you know, kids, they really don't care. It just needs to be fixed. And I think as community members, parents, that we have a responsibility to our children and to our community to fix these schools up and keep them in well working order. Once you have that school all shined up and looking nice, people are going to want to come here. You know, and my two older kids, they went to EPISD. We lived in El Paso. And one of the reasons why we moved out here was because of that new high school. And we were like, man, it was nice looking. That's, you know, we thought it's a smaller community. Smaller means better attention. Okay. And, you know, and on the committee, I mean, we did have a lot of discussion. You know, I don't think that there is any any frivolous type of items that we went through. And if there was any that were brought up, they didn't make the cut. And I know some of our biggest concerns with five things when we started was the wastewater, the ADA requirements, security, energy management, and the Eastside School. You know, and like I said, as we went through some of these schools, we seen firsthand how a lot of these five were not being done to the best of our ability, and I think that's what we need to provide.
Thank you.
My name is Gabriel Solis. I am a pastor and a minister in the community. I've been so for 12 years. All of my kids are Eagles. Okay. Bill Childress and my oldest daughter is in CMS in sixth grade. And I have been honored to serve on this community, on this committee. And I want to commend Dr. Murphy. I was speaking with him, and I did it personally for taking the time and birthing this project and having the community involved to bring a recommendation to the board trustees, the Board of Trustees of Canoteo. I think everyone were in agreement when we took that tour of our schools, of our district. And in being a pastor, I can tell you that in a way, we have to have a vision in what I do, and that's to grow the kingdom of God. I'm not here to preach, but you know, I always go back to that angle. And so the district has to have a vision. And I've been knowing Dr. Murphy more and more, and you know, I'm understanding his vision. And I believe that at the end of the day, nobody wants our taxes to be raised. Jaime said it very well. We struggle to dish out that money. But then again, we want quality. And I think the way the Creator formed us is we like nice things. That's just the way it is. And we want our kids to have nice and better things. And for that, we need vision. And to have a vision come to fruition, we need to plan, and that's what we're doing here. And so the vision is even to extend to the east side. I know that traditionally, Canoteo traditional, it's hard for us to probably assimilate the fact that the other side of the freeway is also CISD, but it is and it should be embraced. And so, you know, when we come to you with this figure, you know, I'm a parent as well, and we struggle as well as a lot of our people in Canoteo do. But then again, you know, we'll go back to the same issue. It's our kids. It's their education. And we really want to go out into the community as parents, as leaders, and, you know, ask our community. I think the past is the past, and there's probably a sour taste from the past, but I think that we can move forward, especially with something like this has become, it's been open to us. And so, with all due respect, board members, you know, we would like for everyone to consider the vision, and if we could move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Solis, Mr. Nannery, and Mr. Vela, we really appreciate that. And there's another.
I apologize. Pippi Sexton, she's one of our best partners, our business partner, Business Education Success Team from Arsler Middle. And she was also on the committee, and I apologize. I was supposed to have her up too. Go ahead, Pam.
Thank you very much. When we started this committee, we started with a perspective of how we can improve the campuses based on some criteria. What were the major concerns that the campuses were facing? Wastewater was one of those, security. Cost reduction through energy management was one of the big concerns that we had. ADA compliance over the campuses, what those issues were that the campuses were facing, and also what the East Side's needs were. So these are how some of the ways that we approached these areas of concern, and our focus was on how to improve the campuses based on these needs. So there were some items that we chose not to include that we didn't feel were a necessity, not just based on cosmetics, but actual needs at the campuses. And I think that we really asked very hard questions, which the campuses and the school district was very forthcoming with us in giving us the correct information. We went back several times and asked, you know, how much are you spending in energy management? How much can we reduce? How long will it take to get this money back? So there were some very, very difficult questions that we did ask of your school staff, and that they were very committed to giving us that information. So as we look at these recommendations, it was based on very factual. We met with the wastewater technicians. We met with the bus facility maintenance crew. We discussed what issues some of the principals were having. So they were very, very, very in-depth conversations that we had. So we all took our situation that we were in the committee very serious, and we were very committed to this effort. So as we go through these, I hope that you do understand that we did take it from a business perspective and very logically went through every item and discussed it in depth.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Like I said, the time and the effort and the approach and the consideration that y'all gave to these needs. So, and y'all have any other comments you'd like before we ask the board to see if we have any comments from the board or questions?
I'd like to also thank all the committee members. This was over Christmas. That's a hard time to ask somebody to commit to anything. So, you know, a double thank you for committing to that over the holidays. That was a lot.
It is. It's, like I said, all our time is precious, especially during that time, and We certainly appreciate it. Anybody have any comments? Mr. Ruiz.
Mr. Chair, I also wanted to thank you all for participating in this. I know some of you all have participated in the Budget Stakeholders Committee as well as this one, and I'm sincerely thankful of you all's time. I would like to see if the board would like to open it up to any of the other committee members that might want to, either communicate what they might want to.
Sure. Well, we can take that up.
Start asking questions.
I'm a law enforcement officer in this community, and I echo the sentiments of my colleagues and my neighbors. As far as one of my colleagues said, going to get off the par as far as a taxpayer. But I have two children in this district, and I'm very pleased with the academics that this district has provided my children, and I'm willing to pay that amount of money for any improvements that is needed in this district. I too went around with some of the committee members, and I saw the needs that this district and some of these schools need. One of the main concerns that I saw was a safety issue, particularly at Canutillo Middle School, as well as the other schools within that area. And I also have to agree with the idea that a school is needed on the east side. That side is growing tremendously, and that eventually, in my opinion, and I believe in the opinion of some of these committee members, will eventually, in the long run, pay for itself, but it's needed. But that said, I have to echo the sentiments again of my colleagues, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perio.
Adrian. Hi, guys. My name is Adrian Medina. I'm actually a longtime resident of Canutillo. I know most of you guys. I'm not only a member of this facilities committee, but also a proud alumni. Canutillo High School, class of 1992, concerned taxpayer. It's kind of why we're here, and you are here. I'm here tonight to really kind of echo some of their statements, but really I had something planned because I didn't want to miss what I wanted to say. When this committee began in December, we reviewed the current state of district facilities, the needs of schools, and the future growth plans. The committee toured facilities that were in pretty bad shape. I mean, I didn't know the Canutillo Middle School was that bad until you look at the guts of it. I mean, there's no insulation. The boiler's about to blow up. I didn't know that going to school there. They need to be addressed right away, obviously, and in order to prevent fines and before any students are really placed in danger. Because that's really, I hate to hear that there's a fire at one of those schools and we could have done something to do something about that. We also given a tour of the growth occurring on the east side of the district. It's growing, it really is, in a possible new school site. And this is where Dr. Murphy actually had a great idea, and I would support it nonstop, to name it Lone Star, to kind of pull the old and the new and a brand new school. I think that's a great idea, and I think moving forward, the district should get away from naming any facility for community members or any community members that are currently living. You know, you've seen EPISD have that issue in the past. So, we were presented with financing and timing options of the bond alongside the reality that TRE, tax ratification election, was also being considered by the district to meet current operating expenses. You guys are all aware of this. The committee did vote and approved earlier this week to place the TRE and a bond on the May ballot, three, four months away. And that's quick, very quick. The bond project presented will fix some issues that can no longer be ignored, but I don't believe it does enough to create equitable educational facilities and plan for the future of the district. By placing this bond on the May ballot, we'll be asking voters to start construction on a $21 million Eastside campus that is located where approximately 5% of the community currently resides. Even with the current growth rates, we would not see the campus put to good use for at least 3 to 5 years. It's reality. This bond will also be placed alongside a TRE and may create confusion amongst voters as to why the district is asking for bond funds that will add to its operating expense when we cannot balance the current operating budget. I also believe that constructing a K-8 school with plans to turn it into middle school is a great use of the school. I mean, multi-purpose, really. Very simple. But unfortunately, not planning for a K-5 school in the same area is going to present the same problems, busing kids across major roads. You have to bus them across the new highway on Trans Mountain or I-10. So you're still going to have the same problem, even if it's a K-8 school. The bond that fixes all the needs of the districts with equitable educational facilities for both students and staff, I say staff only because it was restrooms there quite a bit, would be more than what is being presented today, substantially more. That number is actually very close to what was presented in 2006. You all remember what was presented in 2006. That looks about the same. It should be a lot more to get to where we need to be. Understand that as the district grows, the tax burden we place on taxpayers will decrease over time. But by delaying the bond election until 2013, which is what I believe we should do, we would create awareness for the need of a bond and give the bond the due diligence it deserves and needs in order to be successful. I think if we rush into it headlong, we're going to fail. What if one passes and the other one doesn't? If the bond passes and the TRE doesn't, then we're adding another $1 million of expense. But we can't even balance current. We don't know what the state's going to do. So, anyway. Throughout this committee process, I have asked for the accounting of the 2006 bond projects and remaining funds. I requested this information partly because I supported the 2006 bond, but also knowing that many community members would also like to know what was accomplished with these funds. He's a great guy to go to because he asks those hard questions. So far, I have not received this information and was told that current district records do not contain a full project list of what was presented to voters in 2006. As a community member and taxpayer, this is completely unacceptable. The district should be as transparent as possible and communicate all spending of voter-approved funds by all means necessary. And today, as the Board of Trustees elected to steward this district, I ask you to consider the following recommendations. Place the TRE on the May ballot and balance the budget as required by law. Audit the 2006 bond projects and funds and communicate this information to the community. Complete remaining projects for existing facilities from the 2006 bond, as well as purchase land for an Eastside K-8 school, and use the 2006 bonds as agreed to by the voters. Create a committee which includes students, staff, and community members that will tour the district and generate a list of necessary projects based on a strategy of equitable educational facilities for students and staff. Again, we shouldn't have teachers running across most of the schools just to go to the restroom. Five, place a bond on the 2013 ballot for voter approval that will provide equitable educational facilities, construction and opening of an Eastside school, purchase land for a future K-5 school site south of Trans Mountain, east of I-10. That's where it's needed. And six, and I think a couple of my committee members actually agreed to this. All bond funds and projects should be overseen by an independent project manager to track progress and communicate to this board and to the community as projects are completed. That's what I have.
Thank you, Mr. Medina. Appreciate your comments. All right. Yes, Ms. Maldonado.
Good evening. Lilia Maldonado, parent, born and raised here, part of Calumpio, ISD, as well as my girls, my husband. You all know I'm here all the time. And you all know that I've brought it before you time and time again, that Band-Aid. That's what Calumpio used to do, Band-Aid. Put a Band-Aid on this little issue. Well, now we're seeing the consequence of that Band-Aid. I knew it was there, but I didn't know to what extreme. I mean, that tour was an eye-opener. Things that I didn't realize existed, you know, or the lack of, I should say. So, yes, the need is there. It's there now. It's going to be there in 2 years. It's going to be there in 3 years. We have to fix it. My view is that I feel we need to fix what is broken at the existing and established schools. They've been broken for years, and I agree, not only as a parent, as a community member, but as a teacher. These kids deserve the best that we can offer. Yeah, it's money out of our pockets, but whatever we can do to make that environment student-friendly where the learning is happening is what we need to do. And I feel that the priority is the schools that are established already. The schools that are old are the ones with the most need. CMS, Calumpio Elementary, and it's not because I work at Calumpio Elementary, it's not because my kids go there, but when Bill Childress was built, when Davenport was built, when Damian was built, nothing went to Calumpio. Calumpio stayed the way it was. Well, just like CMS. Over time, those things get broken and they don't get fixed, or they place a Band-Aid on it. It doesn't get fixed. And so, Mr. Coronado, Mr. Rodriguez, those of you that have been on the board for years, have heard, and you can quote me where I say, that Band-Aid is going to cost millions later, which is exactly what's happening now. It's costing a lot of money to fix those things that should have been fixed long ago. But that's what? Water under bridge, right? It's done. We need to move forward. My feeling on this is that, again, we need to concentrate on the established schools. I will agree with Mr. Medina. On the east side, yes, the growth is coming. I personally don't feel that it's there to build a school yet, okay? We're recommending a bond, we're recommending TRE. Well, in my opinion, TRE has to pass. Because if TRE does not pass, how are we going to operate this district? What we already have. The TRE for Mr. Art is different from a bond. The TRE is to support the staff of the operation of the district. If we don't have the money to do that, we can't run the district. You're cutting jobs, right? You're not going to have the staff to accommodate the need that we have and the growth that we have right now. So I say, how are we going to build another school if we don't have that money for the operation of what we now, right now, have, the schools that we have? How are we going to do it to staff a brand new school? I'm not saying that the need won't be there in a few years. I personally just don't feel that it's there yet, all right? Now, I know that you've earmarked $11 million from the last bond election to go there. I know that you can very well move it to cover some of the fixes that we need right now, immediate fixes. The wastewater, priority. ADA, second priority. Because we're going to be paying fines if we don't fix those things, right? I think we need to target what needs to be done now, again, for those schools that have been established. And that we know those kids are going to be, those schools are not going to go down unless they close this district down. They're there. So, again, my feel is that we need to fix that before when we go on to something else.
Thank you, Ms. Maldonado. All right. Anybody else? All right.
You know, that being said.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad we're only making recommendations. You guys have to come up with. You guys actually have to do the hard part.
Yeah.
Can I say something else real quick?
Yes.
You have to understand, too, that it was a committee decision, what you are presented with. But like Dr. Murphy said, and these people, they're also, we debated. This was one of the debates that we had. You know, so when it came down to Monday for voting, we all voted for voting out. But the unanimous vote is what you are presented with. Okay?
Thank you very much.
And we did give them the breakdown of the vote. Can I say something, sir? Yeah. Or is there other comments?
Go ahead, Dr. Murphy.
Gustavo, can you go to slide?
I'm sorry, I apologize, yeah. Mr.
That's all right. What I was alluding to was the fact that this is going to be a hard decision because this is very personal. Each one of us here, and you can already see we all have an opinion, and some of my votes are not reflected here. You know, the big one is, as my colleague said, okay, I don't know if we need to do a bond and a TRE at the same time. That is true. We don't know what's going to happen. And we discussed at length, you know, what about if we do one now and one later? And again, you know, some of my colleagues like that idea, and we don't know if that's a good thing either. I am going to the legislature on Tuesday to go lobby for small business owners, independent business owners. And, you know, I don't even know if they're going to listen to me because they're so worried about the status of education. Mm-hmm. And they're worried about the decisions that they make now, they're going to affect us for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if and you guys are going to make this decision, not us, if going with our recommendation is going to fly, that is doing the TRE and the bond at the same time, or waiting on one and doing the other later. Either way, guys, you guys probably have one of the hardest decisions you're probably going to make in your career as a public servant. And, you know, I got to tell you, I commend you for that. I don't envy you for that. But, you know, you're faced with some very difficult decisions. And unfortunately, it's not just you. I own a teacher training business in South Texas, which is where I'm originally from. And we're wondering, are they going to be hiring mm-hmm. teachers? When everybody's talking about the possibility of laying off teachers, not just in our area, but all over the state. Major school districts are talking about that. And so I agree with my colleague back there that TRE's got to pass. It's got to, because you're going to be faced with some very hard things. But I also think that one way or another, you guys got to get these facilities up and running. And I don't know if I want you to come back to me and sock it to me twice. You know, I'm an asthmatic. When I get my asthma medicine, my asthma shot, I want it all right now. That's going to hurt my head. I want it all right now. And so maybe that's what needs to be considered. But you guys, I'm going to tell you right now that I'm very proud of you, and I'm glad I have people such as yourself to help guide this district. But you guys got some hard decisions to make.
Well, we thank you though for giving us a little more input, a little more insight from what the community members are thinking, and that certainly is going to be very impressionable on us when we make those decisions, that we get to hear directly those concerns and really and the end product, the unanimous decision that you guys have made to make that recommendation to us. And we take it very seriously because, you know, you all are community members, and we want to make sure that we listen to this. Is, like you said, this is going to be probably one of the most important decisions, not that just we as board members will make, but that this community is going to make for the community of this district and for the students. And we have a difficult, we have to take in a lot of concerns. You all voiced some of those concerns. We still have to face other issues that we have to take into account. But, you know, first and foremost, the community have elected us not to just to represent you, but first and foremost, we are trustees. And in terms of running the Stuhl District, we are, these facilities and the running of them have been put into us in trust. Really, the way I look at it is for the benefit of not the community, but the students that you all send to us. And that product eventually goes out into the community, and we want to make sure that that product we send out there is going to be able to become productive citizens of this community like yourselves, that we, you know, this is what we wish, what we long for, what we vision for in our community. And I think it's, you know, we're at a crossroads, at a point when the state also is facing these issues of education. This is going to be a decision that this community needs to make, and really, you know, I think is going to be a voice. What decision the community makes is going to be the voice of, you know, whether we wanted to put education first in our community, and we want equity. We want to make sure, and the board is, and I've been, since I've been on the board, it's been, you know, part of my mantra to make sure that no matter where any child in our district attends school, that they're going to have a clean, safe school with the best teachers we can give them, no matter where they live. And that should be our vision here in terms of providing that opportunity for our children. And I thank you all for voicing some of those issues and some of those concerns and some of that vision that here we are at Canutillo here are trying to instill in the organization and in the community. Our children shouldn't have to choose where to live in the district in terms of where are they going to have a better opportunity or where are they going to be safer. And that's a big concern for me. And it should be to the state. I don't think the state, they preach it, but when it comes down to the money and putting the funds towards that vision, towards that mission that the state says they do, unfortunately they don't do it. At least not to where they have placed their vision is to provide, and you know, the state's vision is to provide an excellent educational opportunity for all the students of Texas in public education. And when it comes down to voting or deciding and funding for programs for schools, all of a sudden they start talking about, well, what's adequate, instead of, you know, how should we provide our children with that excellent educational opportunity, to the point where in the past several years they've cut funding in one of the most important areas, and that's technology. Okay, you know, it's a hard decision for us to make. One of the good things I like about our state is that it does give us some of that control here locally, so that even when the state decides not to put its best foot forward, we as a local community can say, you know what, we choose not to do that. We choose to stick with making sure that our kids have that excellent educational opportunity in an equitable manner. And so I want to open the floor to see if any of my colleagues on the board have any questions about the process, any questions about the specifics of the items that we have been provided with. This time I'll open the floor. Anybody? Mr. Rodriguez.
Again, thank you. And I guess the concern I have, I mean, looking at our maintenance and operations budget, it's clearly that we have to go for the TRE. That's, you know, we can't argue that. The concern I have here is on the bond programs. I wish we could address some of the some of the more issues that we need to address, but some of these issues are critical, and we see long-term savings compared to looking at, like, the Boilermaker. I remember I was in high school and it went down. So, I mean, you know, and we toured some of these facilities when we look at the wastewater treatment plant. And that's, you know, that's something that could happen within a year, it could happen, you know, within 10 years. You know, it's a risk that, you know, we need to address soon. And the thing is, we're going to continue to grow, and looking at 2013 as a concern for me to actually, you know, look at a bond program. I think we need to get some more information out. We had requested the last meeting and got some of that information, and I had talked to Dr. Murphy about the whole program where we could probably get a breakdown of, you know, by budget line item on where those expenditures were made and how much was made and what projects were done within that budget line item. So it's something that we need to look at. But overall, we need to, I think, address these issues. We looked at, you know, 2006, which was about 30 million, and it still didn't address, you know, the needs that we needed to. And now we're in 2011, and you know, in 2013 we're going to have to address more issues, and it's going to continue to happen. We're hopefully we'll address some of the immediate concerns, and especially on the energy management systems and the energy efficiency. Hopefully we could save money now instead of waiting. If we were to have done this 2-3 years ago, or maybe in that 2006 budget, we would have already seen some savings to the district in our maintenance and operation budget, where we could have had some type of leeway. So it's you know, we have a critical decision to make on the bond program. I think it's a must on the TRE. I really want to look at what our financial advisors say from the standpoint of what our bond capacity and what is the actual timeline and the drawdown within the first 5 years, to see where is it beneficial for us to do, or how is it exactly that we might want to look at doing. So there's a lot of issues that we still need to address, and I think first of all we need to address these issues that are, you know, a safety issue that could possibly happen in the near future, hopefully not, but we need to address it. So
all right, thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Anybody else on the board?
You know, I'd like to,
Ms. Searles,
I'm sorry, to really echo what Armando's saying. I hear from our committee here, and we see from what we've seen ourselves, we need staff. We can build all the new buildings in the world, but if there's nobody to take care of them, we have problems. I mean, I think there's an issue that we need staff. We need groundskeepers. We need maintenance people that we've had to cut back on. We have had to do without. That does a lot for your buildings and taking care of them, or, you know, letting them go the way that many of ours have gotten. And Dr. Murphy, I'd like to ask you a question. Is this total bond recommendation from the administration plus or minus the $11 million that we already have?
It's the $11 million that is already there would benefit above and beyond the 39.
Okay, so it is not, has no accounting here. We still will have $11 million over this.
Instead of going into our
Minus whatever bond relief the trustees would want to offer if they went forward.
Okay, but that has not been encumbered by this. That is still just
there
left.
There is a, and I can show you exactly where, Gustavo. Just give me 1 second, all right?
It's in there.
It's on the East Side School page. Slide 19.
Uh-huh.
You see a $3 million funds for tax relief.
See it?
That would come out of the $11 million recommended by First Southwest.
The $2.25 million would also come out of the $11 million, which would then leave $5.75 million for the new school, or however the board chose to structure mm-hmm. that. So the 2.25, correct me if I'm wrong, staff, the 2.25 and the 3.0, which are on that slide, are encumbered in this amount out of the $11 million, and the 5.7 is not. Is that correct?
Okay, so they were there's out of the 11, what you're saying, there'll be 5.7
above and beyond 39.
Okay,
on the back
I understand. And these,
the voting sheets, yes, ma'am.
Voting sheets that we got, does this equal anything in this?
Yes, as I said on the first page, anything highlighted in red is mm-hmm. votes that were positive. But okay. under a 70% approval. So maybe they got a 60% approval or a 55% approval. If they're in red, they're below 70. That's what the blue sheets show. And I do want to point out, and Lily, with all due respect, the committee did vote at a very high rate that doing them both on the same day this year in 2011 was the opinion of the larger committee, respecting the minority opinion as well, and that is on there. We called that option one, which was to go for both on the same day in May of 2011. Option two, which would be what Lily and also Adrian were talking about the split. And the majority vote was for option one on the same day. And I just wanted to make that point.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cornell.
Thank you, Ms. Earls. Go ahead, Ms. Cassidy.
Do we know how close we are as far as like rezoning our district, where our kids are? Because we've gotten the numbers, and Ms. Searles has mm-hmm. brought it up, and other people have brought it up. We have campuses right now that are not at capacity, and I can tell you, even driving around in the district, there's kids that live over here off of Strahan, and they're being bused all the way to Garcia, and they live right closer to Damian. So. Do we have somebody yet? I know we had spoken about it. Can we get a real date when that's going to be? Where are numbers at right now? Where's the real growth at? How are the campuses, or as far as the facilities, how are they holding up right now? Where's the growth? Can we move kids around?
Okay. What our demographer has told us, Dr. Wachtel, who we are working with, and I want to make this point to Lily and Adrian and the minority vote for splitting. The demographer is telling us that we can wait a year to go for bond, which would mean the new buildings, specifically the East Side School, would be the 1 year, and then two and a half, 3 years beyond that, pushing the new school opening to basically 2015, and our demographics would allow that. The demographer is saying that beyond that, we would be in real trouble. That if you take into account that a new school, specifically a K-8, would take 2.5 years to build, if we waited more than a year to begin that 2.5 year build, that the growth would overrun what we currently have. But he does say we could wait a year. So that's why we did offer option two of splitting the two, doing a TRE now and a bond in a year, because our research shows that we can do that. And I don't want to act like Chicken Little and say the sky's falling and say we can't wait a year. We can wait a year on capacity. The concern is, can we wait a year on things like our wastewater issues? Can we wait a year on some, do we want to wait another year on the energy inefficiency setup that we have? Is it more available to the voter to approve both in one election as opposed to splitting? So those were kind of the options and things that the committee was kicking around all the way through. And so the capacity is there, Ms. Kosseris, to move students and to make do for the time being, and even postpone the election of a bond for a year, but the capacity is not there beyond that.
All right, anybody else?
Ms. Earls addressed one of the questions looking at our current bond money that we have and some of the expenditures that we still have under the 2006 bond program that we need to look at with some of it was provided there. And the other concern I have, and it's been a concern of mine, and it's still up for discussion, the K-8 through the K-5 with the population growth. The other issue that we have to look at, and we know that we have room to grow, and if I would have looked at it, let's say a year ago, to actually look at building that facility, we could have probably saved some money because of the construction market. We could have probably saved 20% to 30% and sat on it, and probably have done it just with that bond, the 2006 bond program. But now that we're seeing, even today, I was at a meeting where Dr. Fullerton from UTEP was talking about, you know, the economics, and you know, we're seeing commodities rise at great numbers, especially steel and all that. So it's going to raise the project with the inflationary costs that we're looking at. And it would have been beneficial for us to do it a year ago to lock in on the prices that the market, the construction market, was available to us. But now that we're seeing it grow, I think what we need to do, of course, we need to have that money in our bank account, because we can't just go back to the voters and wait for something to happen 1-2 to 3 years when we're ready to build. We need that money available. We don't have to spend it, but we need that money in our bank account. So it's something that we need to look at, because the other issue, when looking at our M&O and opening up a new campus, it's going to be about $2 million more to open up a new campus. So those costs aren't in our M&O, and not knowing what the state legislator is going to do is going to be a tough decision as well. So I think one of the things that we need to address when, if we do go out for the bond program, is we need to assure the community that we're not going to build that program, that campus, till the demand is there for that student population. I think that's a concern of mine, and I don't know if the rest of the board shares that concern with the board. The community, but I think it's something that we need to look at when it comes to that that campus. So I just wanted to say that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Anybody else? Ms. Gonzalez.
I know it's similar to Mrs. Cáceres' question, and I echo Mr. Vela's comment, where he would also, I agree with also the TRE, and I guess I'm also considering the bond. But my question is now is, on this chart that you gave us, it's Facilities Review Committee. I don't know if the rest of the committee received it. You had indicated that we had some number of classrooms unoccupied. Can you provide us a current one, or actually not a current one, but an accurate one? Because I don't think this is accurate.
Well, okay. What we had to look at, what the initial study was from Mr. Armendariz had to do with physical space that was unoccupied. We then, through the help of Dr. Wachtel, have gone back and we've looked at functional capacity versus physical capacity, meaning even though there might be three rooms down this hall, you really could only move into two due to the fact that you have to have special education in those rooms and smaller capacity. I did provide you, and I don't have it in front of me, Dr. Wachtel's analysis of how each school could grow over the next 3 to 5 years. I don't have it in front. Does staff have that? I gave it to you in the packet of materials about 2 weeks ago that showed functional capacity versus physical. And again, he is showing functional capacity within our building to last approximately 3 to 5 years, but not beyond that.
My question is, you indicated, let me give you just a brief example. You indicated that the high school has capacity of 2,475 students.
I'll need to see what we're
here.
Someone else have one?
Here, just tell him what page, and you can use mine. find out what page.
Is it okay if we go to the back of the room? None of you sir?
whatever you'd like.
Dr. Murphy, is this that's a draft that was presented?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. This is the most updated, right here. This is from the demographer that's showing that we currently have space across the district for additional 725 students, K-12. But that he is expecting enrollments between 780 and 1,100, the median being 950, over the next 3 to 5 years additional. Or 4 to 6 years, I apologize. So he is showing a capacity above that which we currently have by about 200 to 250 students.
In the high school?
No, across the district.
Across the district.
So is there anything indicated here about the, I was just referring to the high school right now. What about the high school? What do you show there at the high school?
We show that the high school can serve comfortably without adding portables or anything like that. An additional 81 students beyond what current capacity is. We're currently at 1524. Comfortable in there would be somewhere around 1600 students. To get above 1600 would put a pressure on the campus.
Okay.
Sure. It was given to you. But yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else on the board? Ms. Gonzalez, you have
any? No, thank you, sir.
All right. Let me tell you, this is a really a difficult, we're going to have to weigh a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
The K through 8 school, I can see Mr. Rodriguez's point about do we build just the K through 5 now with the money we have, make sure we do that. If we'd have built it earlier, could we have saved more money? Yes, probably so. But maybe this is an opportunity to, because if we build that K through 8 center and later on convert it into a middle school, we're not going to have to build a middle school and spend $30 million later. If it's going to go up, the steel's going to go up for the next school we build. And 2-3 years down the road, it may cost us a lot more. When the economy comes out of this downturn that we see, clearly our facility is going to cost a lot more. And we're low enough in that economy downturn that I don't think it's kind of difficult to go further down in what our economy's faced in the last few years. So I don't see that we're... that the economy is not going to go up, and so we see that starting to happen, and there's going to be some increases, obviously, in other things. So the hard decision is, do we go ahead and just do with what we have on the million and build a K through 5 without burdening the taxpayers, or, you know, do we go ahead and suck it up, build it when we know long term it's going to save us? We don't want to come back to the, what we would have to do if we just build a K through 5 is 3-5 years down the road, come back and say, now we need a middle school. And we're going to ask you for $30 million now instead of 21. And increase our, at a higher debt for our INS in terms of the percentage of interest that we're going to pay on our bonds. Right now, the advantage we have is really committing those funds to a very low interest rate on a long-term basis for our bonds that we're going to pay. And at the same time, if we use the current $11 million, some of it, to give the taxpayers some bond relief, some payment relief on our IMS fund, on our interest and sinking fund, we're going to be able to really take advantage of getting cheap money and not have to pay for it, or rather start paying for it 2.5 years, 3 years down the road, when both interest on bonds are going to be higher and costs on building facilities is going to be higher. I mean, it's one or the other. It's a lot of issues we have to weigh. And I understand, you know, that our community at large right now is faced with a lot of issues in terms of their economies. People are losing their homes. But if we're able, we sit really in a very good position to even be able to consider this amount of a bond, because we do have some money in the bank that we can pay some of these initial bond payments and not hit the taxpayer right off. So we sit in a very unique situation, as besides other districts that go out for bonds that don't have this $11 million sitting in the bank to be able to do these things with. So that's an opportunity also I see, that we didn't have to build that. Or that we didn't build the K through 5 right off the bat. I mean, it's one or the other. I'd rather we go ahead and suck it up now, and instead of asking for $30 million later, we only ask for $15 million to build another K through 5 center later on and convert the current K through 8 into a middle school. That's a great plan. It's a great savings. We pay for it in terms of we fill the need of both the K through 5 need and middle school need in that area without having to build two schools. And when the growth is not there for both schools, if we just build K through 5, we're still going to get hit with an extra cost in busing those kids that are going to be in middle school, busing them over here somewhere. That's going to be an added cost that, for me, I think it's just wasted money. Mr. Nunnery.
One thing that I noticed when we went up to the east side, there's a lot of building going up there. And I think as a district, we need to keep our vision on growth. And I would assume if I was living up there, there's no school up there right now, I would take my kids to EPISD. And that's what's happening, because there's no school there. So if we don't do something with the future in mind, I think that we're going to lose a lot of students. And if we don't keep that vision in focus, people are not going to move out here, because they'll just see Conalpio as a small town, no vision. Well, there's other places in El Paso to live. The reason I came out here was because of the high school. I think if the high school wasn't there and I didn't see good things happening in the district, I probably would have moved on to New Mexico. So the vision's there. I know your decision is a hard one. I realize that. But don't miss the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Nunner. All right, anybody else? Ms. Maldonado.
I know it's been asked before, but is there any funds left from the 2006 bond that could possibly be used to address, like, for instance, the ADA issues?
Those
issues that have to have an immediate fix.
Yeah, that's a good question, Ms. Maldonado. And we're actually reviewed some of those, some of the presentation. There are a little bit of funds left. A lot. I think most of those funds have already are committed. There's going to be some funds that are left, not that much. And some of those are being put to ADA issues.
Yes.
Mr. Armendariz can.
There are approximately $800,000 left, of which they're already earmarked to the projects that were promised to the taxpayers.
Okay, because that's my other concern. Whether we do the bond this year, whether we do it next year, whether we do it in 2 years, it has to happen. And we have to have buy-in. Unfortunately, they haven't passed because the buy-in hasn't been there. One of the reasons is because, as taxpayers, you're given the bond, you're told this is what it's going to be used for. And when it's not being used for that, as a taxpayer, as a parent, as a citizen, as a community member, you lose trust. You lose trust. It doesn't matter who the leader is, it doesn't matter who the board is. You lose trust because you did not do what you said you were going to do. So if now, with those funds that are available, if you address exactly those issues that were promised, that gives us a little bit of trust in those taxpayers that voted no, right? The other thing is that we need to inform the citizens, the residents, correctly. You know, not what you hear, but Mr. Art, correctly, we need to inform them that the bond is going to be used for this. And they have to, number one, know the difference between the bond and the TRE. Mm-hmm. So we have to educate them accurately, with accurate information, if we want buy-in. And I agree. I have the vision. I just, like I said, I mean, these needs are there, and they need to be fixed, type thing. So if we can make the resident feel a little bit better by saying, okay, they did do this. Maybe not when they said they were going to do it, but here they are. They're doing it. And we need to inform them. Yeah. So that we have a better opportunity to have a yes on both of the bond.
And we do have a breakdown on some of those issues now. Mr. Armendariz, I think from the last meeting, the board had asked Mr. Armendariz and the administration to get a final tally on those, and we did. We have received more information on it. We do, and Mr. Medina was asking specifically that kind of information. What we will do is that we're going to ask administration to actually, I guess, provide this in a handout that we can give to the community. There's very, very little that's left that hasn't been committed. Very, very little left.
And I would like to make a comment about that. Now, this prior to my administration, we're going to call, just like we had a facility stakeholder committee do this work, which is fairly unique for this community to do, and we did it on the heels of our budget stakeholders committee trying to get transparency there. We need a citizens advisory committee to oversee the implementation of any bond that is passed. Now, KMUTO had one of those committees. They called it CBEC.
CBEC.
Our records show CBEC met two times?
Three times.
I was
a member of that.
Three times, that's it, over the course of the entire 2006 bond. Now, I'm not denigrating the effort, but I'm saying the effort will be greatly upgraded if we get the support of the community on passing a bond. And whatever effort goes forward, the same type of intense scrutiny that has gone forth in putting this together and what still will continue in preparation will be on the back end as far as the maintenance of making sure that the dollars are being spent as the community required. And as superintendent, I will commit to you the transparency of that effort will be upgraded over what occurred at the 2006.
One of the things with the old SBAC was that the information was not disseminated to the rest of the community members. You know, it was there for them and whoever they spoke to.
Well, they only met three times.
Well, but if you do that, it has to be disseminated through
Bless you.
You know.
Well, and I will commit to being much more transparent, and not to defend administration, but to defend administration. One of the issues in garnering the line item requirements that everyone wants to see about the 2006 bond was that the oversight and the implementation of the bond could have been much stronger. And that is one of the hindrances that we're trying to overcome, and Ernesto is working on that currently.
They didn't have Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, they didn't have Facebook.
I do have one more thing.
Mr. Medina.
A bond, I come to find out, it's not a binding document. It's not a binding vote. We put our trust in this board back then to commit to projects. I went out there, I knocked on doors, and it passed. And then things were done that, we toured the facilities, we found out that the high school football field was moved because it wasn't centered. We built a field that only exists in this district, in West Texas, that is artificial grass.
Things like that make you kind of question the trust that we placed in this board. And I know it's before you guys. A lot of you guys weren't even on the board. Some of you were. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what you came into. And when you got, when Mr. Coronado, you're saying that you're going to take the $11 million and use it to offset funds and make it nice, and we're going to still pay. We're still going to pay. That $11 million, it should have already been used for the school. It should have already been purchased. And plans should have been made to build it. That's what that $11 million is for, not for a field, not for fixing. And I'm sorry, I can kind of understand and sympathize with her. She wants, you know, facilities. But that's bond money that was entrusted to this board by the community. And now it feels like, well, forget what the voter said. And if that happens, it's going to be an even higher hill to climb the next time you guys go out, because they've done it before. What's going to prevent them from doing it again? And I agree, you should be out there communicating, hey, this is what happened. But it hasn't happened, and we've been asking for years. Where's that money? Those signs came down. Remember those signs? They came down. Completed, gone.
Not all of them.
Yeah, there's one that's just kind of nasty looking. But I just want you to understand that it's our trust that we're imparting on you to make the right decisions with our money. And I hope you take that for what it is.
And we take that very, very seriously, because... And that's one of the things when Dr. Murphy came in, and the board probably can realize that, I'm a proponent that we have communication, and that we know the good and the bad, and that we communicate that that's communicated to us and what's going on in the district, and that gets communicated then back full to the community of what's going on. And I think things are a lot better in that regard. And I agree with you, the community needs to know where those funds were spent. And I can tell you, and we have a breakdown, and you'll be able to see these sheets, that everything that we told the community we were to spend on has been spent on those issues. Was some of those money diverted to other needs? Yes. Some of those were ADA issues, that funds that were left over from some of those projects. You know, I'd rather we divert them to the ADA issues, because those are pressing needs. And sometimes we have to make those kind of decisions to do that. Building the school, we had planned to build that school already. Everybody knows when the flood happened in 2006 or thereabouts, everything came to a halt in terms of the development east of I-10. Not only because of what happened, but because the federal government put a stop to everything and said, that's it. We want better planning. We want better studies, preparation. Keep this from happening, just to put things in a nutshell. Shortly after that, then we had our economy hit. And so there's been two things that have kept us from building that. If we'd have built it already the way we had told the voters, we would have had a school a year or 2 years ago. And frankly, we couldn't have done it. One, the developer wouldn't sell us the land because they didn't know what was going to happen in terms of the issues that the federal government and FEMA had placed on them. And they had to go back to the drawing board and redo the entire planning that they had done for all that area. Okay, so those are one issues. We couldn't buy the land. And that one developer owns 90% of the land out there. So it's difficult for us to have, even if we had wanted to, go ahead and do that because of other issues. But that money is still there. It hasn't been touched in terms of diverting it for other things. It's right now when we're talking about, we're 2-3 years down the road from when we should have done this. Let's evaluate. What should we do? Let's get some input from the community. Should we go ahead and build a K-5, or are we better off building a K-8 now? Those are issues that the board takes seriously, and we want to make sure we do the proper evaluation on our end. We still need to see, after this recommendation's been made to us, other financial issues that we'll need from our financial advisors. So I hear you, but in terms of the information going back out to the community, I promise you that has improved, and it's going to improve even more. And I think the rest of the board can speak, you know, not, I don't have to speak for the rest of the board, but they can speak out on this, of whether they've seen that there has been more communication about the entire organization. We want to make sure that we build an organization that, you know, one of the other things I'll tell you, and that frankly this school district is unique in terms of our internal auditor, okay? We actually are doing things the way that we're required to do, okay? In terms of our internal auditor, okay? And you can see out and go out in the rest of Texas how many people are doing it the way the legislature has told us we should do it, okay? Those are some of the issues that maybe some of the community don't get to hear about. But those are issues that we, as a board, feel very strongly about, that there be communication, that there be checks and balances going back and forth between the leadership, between the board, within the organization, okay? And our internal auditor provides one of those particular checks and balances. And it's done right because the auditor reports directly to the board and is hired by the board. And after Sarbanes-Oxley and after the Enron debacle, the government said, you know what, we're not going to let the board be blind anymore and have, you know, the administration or the leadership of the organization control the internal auditor, okay, and what gets in and filter that to the board. So we're unique in that, and we, you know, you as a community should be proud that this organization is doing it right, okay? And we take very good heed to that. We're unique. We've been asked to present our internal auditor who started the internal audit function in the district is here with us, and she's now the head of our human resources department. We just now hired a new internal auditor, and she's present here in the audience, and comes from a very good institution. And I think we'll be able to continue that function the way it was intended to be, with the flow of information not being filtered, so to speak. Okay, so I think the community should feel confident about that part of it. And I promise you, Dr. Murphy's promised you that the other side of after the bond, if the bond gets passed, in terms of outflow of information to the community, will be tons better. Not only that, we'll have more active participation. Many of those of you who have served on this committee may want to serve on that bond oversight committee, okay? And I'm sure one of you are aching to be on that committee. And we welcome that. We welcome that. We want it to be a healthy, okay, a healthy, I guess, venture, okay, that we're undertaking, that people throughout the rest of the state will look to us and say, you know what, we ought to do it the way they did it, up front, the middle, and after it's all over.
And that's already occurring, sir. We're going on Monday to the Midwinter Administrators Conference in Austin and picking up and presenting our Budget Stakeholders Committee, which won a statewide award for best practice. And we've tried to model the Facilities Committee in a very similar, and I will model the post-bond election committee in a similar way as well.
Yeah.
I just want to make a point, because you've been talking about audit. I want to go back to Letzi's point now that we have the figures and just restate. Our demographer is showing 725 available rooms in the district over the next 4 to 6 years available. 725 now, basically. And he is estimating somewhere between 1,200 and 1,600 students coming in over the next 4 to 6 years. So the difference between if the top number was 1,600 and what's available, 700, is about what we're looking at with this K-8, which would be about 700 students. So this is where he's showing. He is showing capacity, your point being taken, there's 700 seats still available, but growth up to 1,600 students over the next 4 to 6 years would surpass that current 725 mark.
Okay. I have a question.
Ms. Gonzalez.
What is the capacity at Canyon Hill Middle School?
The capacity at Canyon Hill Middle?
is 658 plus 73, which is, apologize, about 730.
That's the enrollment right now, no?
No, the enrollment is 658.
Correct.
And the additional, on the right-hand column, the additional number of students that can't attend would be 73 plus 658.
No, that's not right. My kids went to school there. It holds 1,200 students.
Well, usable space.
Usable, functional space.
They went. There were 1,200 of them when my kids went to school there, so they were. It was usable and functional space.
Well,
so that is incorrect.
Let me tell you part of the issue that we have. And maybe we need to go back and take a tour of that facility, because some of those rooms, there's no way we can hold class in there. We have them available. Some of the committee members, I'm sure, went and saw them. Some of those rooms are available. We can't put students in there. The committee probably saw that. And this committee has seen it after we've already done tremendous improvements there. So if y'all can think of that this was even worse back in 2006. Back in 2006, when we cleared out that it was a high school, I wish y'all would have been able to tour it then. We've done, actually, if you all can think that's a great improvement, okay, from the way it was. Just to let you know what challenges we have had with that site out there. And people have to remember, that site was built in 1974, and it opened with only three hallways and a cafeteria. No dressing rooms, no gym, no football field, absolutely zero athletic facilities. We couldn't have a PE class the first semester or first year we were there, because we didn't have the facilities available for it. People that signed up for PE were sent to a health class. Okay. The size of those rooms, under the requirements, when we start to remodel it under TEA requirements, we cannot use those. It's just not only that, it's just, you know, we can't do it. Yeah, the physical space is there, but we can't.
Right.
We really can't use them.
That's why this is based on functional space. Also, if you take that number 730 and you go above and beyond that, you're getting a middle school that is over a much more larger than you want to manage, and that's taken into account in the functional space as well.
Right.
If you'd like to have a middle school with 1,000 students in it, we probably could arrange, but I don't think that's what the board would desire.
Well, we had up to 1,200 students at that school for the committee to know.
For the high school.
At the high school.
Yeah, we were school at that time.
So if you can think of what kind of issues we had with crowding that many students into there. Okay. It is just, to me, was, you know, and that school was built without a bond, because the bond did not pass for three or four times. I know, because I started as a freshman when that facility opened in 1974. The year before that, the high school and middle school students used one building, and high school went to school from 6 in the morning to 12 noon, and the middle school went from 12 to 6 p.m. at night in one room, in one small building that we need to tear down. Mr. Rodriguez.
Just going back on the 2006 bond program and some of the remodeling that we did with that, some of those classrooms, especially in the library, were taken out to put information technology stuff that was there, so that was like two or three classrooms, as well as the going towards the science wing, Mr. Borrego's class, near those were like closet space, and it was like two or three of them that were knocked down to make one classroom, to make it more functional. So we, and not just that, we also had the ag building, and we had a bunch of portables that had some of those classrooms. So we probably took about 10 classrooms out of that, the high school, what it was back when I was there. So that's where the functional space could probably be diminished on some of that. On going back to the 2006 bond program, what I think we've been able to see, because we've been here throughout the 2006 bond program, that where some of that money has spent by budget line item, and I think hopefully as soon as we get, that could be one of the projects that we give our internal auditor to, so that way we could have an audit of the 2006 bond program and where those funds went. I think that's one of the things that we need to do, as well as the leftover money. We do have that bond program. We put an inflationary cost about like $1 million to that bond program, and we diverted that a little bit to some of the other projects that we needed to do, but all that could be justified. And I think, as I had talked to Dr. Murphy before, the Facility Stakeholders Committee was to try to get the CBAC, the Canotillo Bond Accountability, to convene. I think it still needs to convene and look at those numbers, so that way we could close out that bond program with looking at whatever's left over the elementary school that's left at the top, as well as some of the ADA issues, the public fire, not fire suppression systems, but
fire alarm systems,
the PA system that still hasn't, and that's out of that $800,000 that hasn't been spent. So there's still about $11 million that's still left over to the current elementary school. We have about $800,000 that hasn't been closed out on the bond program, but we do have some projections of and some plan of what needs to be done to close out those bond projects. And
so
I think that's
there's still projects left outstanding outside of the school.
There's about $800,000, and I think that's the.
But it's all been encumbered. You know?
Yeah. It's items that when I came aboard, I looked at what was promised to the board, and then I looked at what was missing from those items, and they were the fire alarm panel, the fire alarm systems, PA systems, the security surveillance system, and some ADA issues that were still needed to be done. So they're currently underway. In fact, all the fire alarm systems have been pretty much completed. Right now we're meeting, in fact, as we speak, the fire marshal is walking through.
They were just left undone.
When I came on board, they were, you can say they had been started, but you need to remember that before I came on board, there was about 6 to 8 months where my predecessor was not here. So there was kind of a time.
So there's a gap.
Yeah, there was a time lapse. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was just 5 years later.
Yep.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
And this all goes back to the same thing, and Ms. Maldonado brought it up. Getting this out to the public through the envisions, so that they know what's in process right now, how it's being spent, what's been done, what's been finished, what they're working on. Because if the people don't see it, then there's no
problem. Definitely,
see it. Every time the envision goes up, just have an update. Just let the people know. Because everybody reads the envision. And just have like a section to it. That's
what I think. And Mr. Medina, there was a period of time, and a lot of people probably don't keep up with the goings on of the district, but there was a period of time when that director's position was not. So, you know, some of those issues were out of the control of the board and administration to immediately do some of those things,
And it goes back to communication.
Right. And I agree, and that's why we're wanting to make sure the community is informed more. We have Dr. Murphy now in terms of what gets disseminated out on our envisions letter, on everything.
Yeah, I check my Facebook every minute.
So any of those who know, since Dr. Murphy's been on board, there's been a lot more communication out to the public. And we want to make sure, that was one of the things I wanted to, this board wanted to communicate with Dr. Murphy when he was first hired, is that we wanted that information flow.
Mr. Coleman.
And it sure has improved.
I know that in watching the district and that kind of thing, there's a lot of people that I know the district can use money to inform the voters, and maybe that would be a perfect opportunity to inform the voters of the previous bond issue and the items that have been completed and what we propose to do. and get the information out to the people that maybe don't get envisions or, because I know we can use money, maybe not to sway the voters, but certainly to inform them, Dr. Murphy.
And I'll agree. If I've been, in Mondo's saying, and bring the C-back, I apologize if I've not been on the ball about the 2006 bond. I came on, it was almost at the very tail end. I have been thinking a lot about, you know, what's next moving forward. And if I need to step back and get fully on board with the 2006, with the $800,000 that's left and the accounting for with our new internal auditor, how everything was spent through all those years, we need to do that. And then after we discover that, we'll commit to doing that. And then after we discover that, to communicate that very carefully to all aspects of the community, and make that part of the package where we go to the community and say, you know, here's what we've done and here's what we would like to do. And we hear that message tonight that we need to do that work. And I can tell you that we have tried to piece together that work. It is difficult, and we will appreciate the new internal auditor coming on to assist with that, because it is not as transparent as you would like to think. That it's just not there for the taking. It has to be very carefully pulled out, and we've not been overly successful in doing that as of yet. For instance, the CBAC committee took no minutes for their meetings. So they met, but there's no minutes. So, you know, it's that type of hurdle that we're having to overcome as we go through.
There was no report?
Not that we know.
No. Well, we haven't been able to find anything. I know that when I came on board, I started looking for that information, because after I came in, remember, Mr. Parks was here, so before I could even present anything to the board as far as continuing with the bond, I had to find out where I was or where it was left off. And I tried in my area to find minutes or something of some semblance to tell me where are we. Haven't been successful. I've gone through boxes and boxes of information, haven't been successful.
Adrian, do you remember any minutes being taken?
No, we had sandwiches. we had coffee.
Was there a recorder?
We toured Garcia before it opened. Which was kind of cool because there was nobody there. We got to run around the kitchen.
Did they have a tape recorder
everything.
There at all?
No.
Nothing.
The only persons that were there were three members, besides myself, so there's four total. and then some administration. A previous superintendent and a previous facilities person. That was it. We talked about, hey, check out the new school, and that
explains why you couldn't find anything. Yes.
No, there was nothing.
We had the minutes from your committee meeting.
From Monday night, Tony, are they available? Were they ready?
One of the other things is that y'all, Pablo, I think Mr. Ramirez wants to say something.
Well, my name is Pablo Ramirez. I'm a parent, a community member, and a staff member. I just want to remind Angel, I don't need to defend the board, but I was here when the committee came, and they came. We were over capacity. They came and they begged the board for that new football field. And unfortunately, I was one of the ones that said, we don't want a football field. I had to put up with my daughter telling me what's wrong with it. But the community wanted it. So when we were knocking, they came knocking here. And we can't wait. I'm sorry to say, we can't wait to wait. If we don't wait any longer, it's going to cost us double. We need staff, we need equipment, we need trucks. We can't wait anymore. I just can't say anymore.
But I think our community needs to understand, we can pass a million, trillion, jillion dollars worth of bond issues, but it's not going to bring us staff. That's brick and mortar. And that's where people have to understand there's a major difference. A bond issue is going to bring a building. Nothing more. That it's not going to bring a person to work in it, anybody to fix it up. It's just going to be the building. And then we have got to figure out where the rest of it's coming from.
I agree with that, Ms. Earls, except to a certain point. Some of those issues that we are looking at improving will relieve some and give us savings in M&O to allow us to hire staff. That is something that part of this bond program is going to. Exactly. For instance, we're spending money on utilities that if we put these improvements or these proposals that are going to save us money on our M&O side, and that is going to give us money to hire staff. and I'm talking about energy management, insulation, where some of these buildings don't have them, the type of heating and cooling we have at some of our facilities, that's going to improve and reduce the cost. Not only that, it's going to improve the air quality in our buildings. It's a safety issue. It's also an efficiency issue. We need to get with, you know, the 21st century on those areas.
I'd just like to mention, as Pablo stated, you know, he mentioned equipment, trucks, and staff. Right now, maintenance is functioning with very old vehicles. There's, you know, quality of work they can produce is only as good as the equipment they're working with, and it's in poor state of, you know, condition. And so I think, you know, even though immediately we can resolve the staffing issue, we can certainly provide them the resources to do the groundwork that they need with better equipment if the bond were to be approved and moved forward.
Mr. Carrillo.
I just want to, you know, I've heard a lot here today, and for lack of sounding naive, I honestly believe that, and I have complete confidence in the board, in the decision they're going to make based on the available evidence. And I'm really pleased with the leadership that Dr. Murphy has shown in his short time. And so as a community member and as a taxpayer, again, I have to say that I have complete confidence in whatever decisions you make, it's going to be the right decision. And more importantly, it's going to be the right decision for the children in this district. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr. Rodriguez.
I think going back to, just so that way we could start putting it out, I think what we need to do is give the directive to the administration to close out that bond program and whatever's left. We've already had the plan for whatever's left on that bond program, but whether it's with our internal auditor and then meet with CBAC as well as disseminating that information through facilities. Once we develop a whole program or whatever, then we could put it up on our website, send it out on Facebook, Envision, try to get that out. And then I'm more concerned and wanting to discuss with our financial advisor on what options are available and what is it that we need to do to get us there.
I think that is a good idea, and we want to make sure that you know, this isn't a complete. The board does have some idea of the remaining funds and what they're being earmarked for, but once we get a more final figures in terms of what's outstanding and has been committed to be paid out, the money looks like it's there, but it's committed already. So it's sitting there waiting for us to finish those projects and pay them out. So I want to make sure that happens. We want to disseminate whatever information we have, at least to the committee members that we have. So we need to work on getting something quick. I think the board is pretty much unanimous about wanting that to be done. But I just want to ask the committee members who are here what their overall feeling is with respect to use the bond funds that we currently have available, the $11 million or thereabouts, that is earmarked for the K-5 school, in terms of using approximately $3 million of those funds towards taxpayer relief for this new bond. I really want to get a sense of the discussion that went on, how the majority felt about it, and
sir, it could go even higher than that to offer even more relief. So.
Yes, and we're meeting with our financial advisors next week, and right now, actually, Dr. Murphy, myself, have been in contact in terms of a lot of those issues, and we want to make sure we do the right thing for the district and the taxpayer as well. You know, these recommendations, we have to keep in mind that we're serving the students, but now when it comes to the financial aspect, we have to keep in mind the community and the overall wellness and financial stability of the organization. So we have a lot of issues we're going to have to discuss, but I want to get that general sentiment from the committee members. Miss...
The consensus was that that would give us longer to pay back the bond. So that would extend it to 2014. We felt like the taxpayers would be more willing to approve the bond with that perspective in mind. So if we were, at the time, discussing that, it would be appropriate to use that $3 million to extend the bond.
And there was no concern about some of the committee members that were not using that to actually build the K through 5 and doing it for taxpayer relief? Because we did promise. I view that as a contract with, when we go out for a bond, even though we're not required to do it completely with that, I view that as a contract that the board, when the board votes for that, I view that as a contract with the community. And if we're going to, just like when we diverted some of those funds, the community came to us and says, you have money sitting there, you're not going to do anything with it, we have this need now, okay? And so we can't please 100% of the community, but I want to get an overall sense of whether any of that discussion happened in any great amount or dissidence from the minority, if there was.
I think you had a polarizing view. You had people that agreed we should push it back, but the most expensive part, which Dr. Murphy communicated to us, was the TRE. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to hit the pocketbook the worst. Not a bond, but a TRE.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is needed to balance the budget as required by law. Mm-hmm. So my consensus, me personally, stop pushing it up. We're going to have to bite the bullet, use the TRE, get your books straight, and start building the school that you need up on the hill.
All right. Mr. Ramirez.
The majority had a problem with, just like our children, good money now, but then when we come back and hit a mark again.
Yeah.
We don't feel like that's right. We felt that if you hit us right now, tell us up straight, yeah. Or straight up and say, we need this right now, this and this. And that plan that we had that we went through is perfect. And I still believe, and it's very hard for me to say because I am from Canofield, we need a K through 8 over there. Mm-hmm. Because we've already built, we'll build something that we're ready for the future. Let's, for the first time that I don't know about you, but the first time that I feel that Canofield is finally heading the right step of being prepared for the future. Because they're building. I don't know how many students we're losing right now to pass with ISD. Those are our students. That's our money. That they belong to us. But we're losing them because we don't have a school over there. I know it's hard to build. Well, it's not hard to build. It's easy to build. It's hard to staff and to keep it going. But eventually we're going to run into that. And why not be in a, why do we have to be in a hurry about it? Let's get it, build it, staff it right, and get it going. We're going to need it. We've been up there. The houses are, they're not stopping like they were back in 2007 when they stopped building. So I think that if we go with this and use the $5.7 million to relieve the other schools that are needed right away, use that money for that. And use the money that we have already allocated for everything else that we picked there. But that way the $5.7 million can be the emergency relief and we can take care of the schools that need help right now.
All right. Ms. Maldonado.
Well, we were, the options that we were given, and it's like, that the bond, the taxpayers wouldn't pay till approximately 2013. Okay. We were also told about the $11 million being used to buy the land, right? Buy the land, which is what you had told taxpayers back in 2006. Not build a school, buy the land to build the school, right? It's all about communication. It's all about communication. Me, also, as like you said, Nini, I say yes. You know, if you're telling me, okay, TRE is going to support this and this and this, and that is going to hit your pocket right now. The bond, the brick and mortar, is not going to hit your pocket in 2013. But you explain to me the needs. You tell me straightforward, this is what we need. Have them tour the campuses. Put out a needs list. Then you buy the trust of the taxpayer. So to me, yes, I'm willing to dig in and do the TRE now. But again, if you put the two issues, it's like, hit me now. On one, I'm not going to pay till later. On this one, I'm going to pay right now. But I agree. If you separate them, this is the first thing that they're going to say. Wait a minute. We just did it last year, and you're coming back again?
because they don't understand the difference. They see that you're going out for either a tax relief or a bond, and they see that it's coming out of their pocket. So it's all about communication and educating. Educating. Give them a needs list. This is what the bond will do. These are our needs. Now, yes, I agree. $11 million to buy the land. I said earlier, you know, I don't think the growth is there. That's me. But I can understand. You promise, buy the land. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to happen is that we focus on buying the land, on building the school, and we forget about the needs of those established schools. I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. That is where my reservation is, number one. We need to fix what's already established. When we don't have the monies right now. So with the bond, that's priority. Fix everything that needs to be fixed. Purchase the land, and then build it after you have fixed everything that needs to be fixed.
All right.
But again, it goes back to communication and educating the community residents.
Mr. Nunnery, you had something to say?
It was already voiced.
All right.
Mr. Coronado, and I agree with what Lily said, and I think I was holding back because as an administrator, I was trying to see what the committee would say, but last Friday, we had our CSC meeting at our campus, and we brought it, and one of the issues was, because Jack brought it up, also we wanted to present it to our committee to see what the teachers, our paraprofessionals, our parents are saying, and they agree. We've been in the district, I've been here 15 years, Lily's been here more, but we've never hurt as much as we're hurting this year because of the programs, the staff, our buildings, our facilities, just everything. I know my PAC group, which is my parent advisory committee, we've toured our campus, and I've explained what happened because last time when we didn't pass the TRE, the bond elections, and now the parents realize what happened and what by them not taking, going out there and saying that we are not able to offer our children the programs that we offered before. We're not able to have the staff that we had the staff before. And we're not able to keep our buildings up to par because we don't have the money. So right now, our community, our staff, our faculty are getting educated the hard way about not having the money that is out there. And I know that at least I can talk on behalf of my campus, you have the support if you're willing to take the risk on taking it on and present it to the community. But like Billy said, and like all of us in this community have said, we gotta educate the public. And yes, as administrators, we're having our PAC meetings and we're telling them, I'm willing to offer my campus as an evening to bring in the parents in my area and be able to present this to the community. And I'm sure all the administrators that are right here would do the same thing. But I feel as a parent, as a community member, as a staff member, we need to do it. We need to do it now because we're hurting. We really are hurting, and the only way we're gonna relieve is TRE and the bond. Do it, let's do it, get it out of the way, and let's get our business, our buildings up to par. Let's envision, we always have to have a vision. The vision is growth. We have to project, we have to plan, and let's start bringing those programs and those faculty and staff that we lost that are also community members also.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Anybody else?
I want to say that I think we really looked at this from all facets. One of the advantages we found of going out for the bond now with the TRE is the savings we're going to save by the election costs. Mm-hmm. We're looking at another $10,000 that we would pay of taxpayer dollars that would go out for two elections. That's one of those. The second thing right now, the interest rates right now are so low. We can get this money so cheap right now. If we wait 2 years from now, when the economy starts to pick up, that's going to cost us more over the long run. So if we can get this school made, divert the taxes right now for 3 years, close to 3 years, whatever it's going to be, by that time, we're going to be real close to finishing that new school. When the taxes hit, people will say, all right, well, what am I getting for my money? Well, there's the school. It's going to be almost completed about the same time that they do that. So that's the way we looked at it, and that's the reason I moved forward.
That's a good point. Anybody else? Mr. Nunnery.
When the TRE was being voted on, I just had moved into the district. I didn't know that much about it, and I called the district, and nobody could tell me. So I was like, well, I guess it's not that important.
Yeah. And you know, that's I hear you. And this organization has gone through some changes of recent years. But I think we have a lot to look forward to. There's been some issues in terms of, you know, the leadership position was absent for some time. There's been some issues on the board. Okay. Those decisions you all make as community members. Okay. But one thing I can tell you is that I think you have finally a united board that really cares about the children of the district and cares about the people in the organization and cares about the community knowing what's going on. We may not be united. You've seen some divergent positions that we've all come forward. We may not agree on everything, and we never are. You don't want that. But I think I can tell you that this board is finally united in its vision of what this district needs to move forward. I am very, very warmed by the comments and the voice that the committee has made about what's going on in our district and what our needs are. I'm really very, very happy, so to speak, that you all have communicated those issues to us, because I think it's a very progressive outlook, and it's a very considerate outlook and recommendation for the people that we serve, and that's the kids of the district, the children, the students of the district. You know, those are the people that we're going to send out to take care of us in the future. Okay, and frankly, I don't think the whole nation has not been doing a very good job of that. And we need to look at it as an investment instead of as an expense. And you know, one of the things that. And we're moving forward on those issues as well, that I wanted to see this district move forward is to take everybody into account. And one of those things that we had been really remiss in not doing is take into account what our students think about how we're running our school district. We never asked them. But that's changing. Okay? And Dr. Murphy has gotten another individual who's going to help us from the
Mitchell.
Yes.
Carnegie.
From the Carnegie Foundation. The Carnegie Institute, right? Is it
Carnegie something? I apologize. Okay. I'm not sure.
Who's going to volunteer so that we can put in place some goals as to what our students think we should be doing and how we're doing, you know? No school district in the state ever asked them, how do you think the board's running your district? How do you think your teachers are doing with you? It seems like it's taboo to ask the product, but if you look at any organization out there, don't you think that they want to ask for some kind of feedback on the product they're producing, right? Everybody does that who's doing the right way. I don't know why in education we feel that's, you know, it gets done, at, you know, in higher education. We don't do it. We're afraid to use our students' information that they're not going to have the right. They're going to just have it in for some teachers or whatever. You know, we need to have more faith in getting input from everybody, our teachers, our administrators, our community, our students. You know, we get input from the community on elections. They tell us in those ways how they think the board, the leadership of the district is doing. You get that kind of feedback in that one way. We want that to improve. We don't want you guys to have to make that decision only every 2 years when you vote us in or out. Okay? And really, it's one of the things is it starts with paying attention to the product you're putting out. How do they think you're doing? Those are the people we want to affect. And like I said, it really warms my entire personality about these recommendations y'all are making. And it's hard-earned dollars that you are asking us to levy on the community during a time, an unprecedented time in our economic position in the world. And so we really take that to heart. And I think you have the right attitude from this board about all those concerns. And so we want to thank you for your service. We want to continue to be involved. We want to see more people out in the audience when we have our meetings. And I promise you that the information highway between the organization and the community is going to improve dramatically. It has over the last year. And you all are going to see that. Board members? Anybody else? Public? Committee members? Thank you all very much. I can't begin to thank you how much we appreciate the time. And more so than that, your honest, sincere opinions, recommendations for the decision that we have to make. And this board thanks you for that and for the interest, above all, in our kids. Okay? Thank you all very much. Dr.
I'll
Murphy, thank you.
For your decision.
Thank you. Yes. Tony, the board's going to take a break.
With attorney to discuss real estate matters and to discuss the report and recommendations of the Facility Stakeholder Committee under Texas Government Code Section 551071 and 551072.
All right, and the time, Tony, is?
8:35.
Okay, and the board will retire to executive session under agenda item 3.
So, we're
going to open this up to community input.
We're recording.
Can you give us the time, Tony?
The time is now 9:20, and the meeting is reconvened into open session.
All right. The board has concluded the executive session and agenda item 3. Tony, would you take us to the next agenda?
consider purchase and sale agreement with Hunt Communities Holding LP for purchase of real estate for school site. Mr. Beskind.
Mr. Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy, presented to you in executive session the proposed purchase and sale agreement to purchase a 23.47-acre site east of I-10. That it's the site the board looked at previously from Hunt Communities for a preliminary price of $1.225 million, but that is subject to getting an appraisal and could be adjusted upward or downward. And I answered all of the board's questions, and I think the board is satisfied that with the information that I gave them. And this contract is only the preliminary step. This only ties the land down, and it allows the school district to go forward and do its due diligence. And within 60 to 90 days from tonight, the administration and I will bring back the results, a report on our due diligence, and the board can decide whether to go forward to purchase the land or to cancel the contract. As I explained to the board has a right to cancel the contract and the only cost under the contract would be a loss of $100, which is like an earnest money. And so I believe the administration and I, and I know Mr. Darks also, we all recommend approval of this agreement.
All right. Any comments from the board?
I'll entertain a motion then at this time on agenda item 4A.
I make a motion to approve the recommendation.
Do you need a copy, Mondo?
I make a motion to approve the recommendation of the contract as presented by administration and our legal counsel. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
No, I think
That would cover it? Yeah. Okay.
All right, my motion. Can I get a second? Okay, there's a motion before the board to approve the purchase and sell agreement with Hunt Communities Holding LP for the purchase of real estate for a school site. This motion has been seconded. Do I hear any discussion? Comments? Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. That takes us to?
Adjournment.
By unanimous consent of the board, we adjourn.
I'll get it signed tonight.
Okay. All right. I want your payment on 17.
I'm going to get this line bought.
On the whole Q&A, I want your
payment. Okay. I'll read it on there. If you defer too much. For that interest, you just all you do is load up the back end. And I think your community's ready to bite the bullet.
Okay,
you know, it's one thing to defer.
152 is where it would go.
No, I don't know. I haven't read that. But you know, deferring it for like a year, I understand. But I'm afraid you're going to take it out to farm and ship.
Give me your pen.
It's like getting a teaser right out of your house. You know, just don't leave
the school district goes like that.
A teaser
right
here
is what came to the taxpayer needs.
Well,
there's a reason teaser right
here.
As at the end,
I just don't work for you.
Guys, I have to take back in
there. Well, there's no. Is there
one of them? I need
all the vice I can get.
Okay.
So put it in purple underneath and send back.
All right.
I forgot my polo right here. I thought I was these.